Blog Talk Radio.
Presents a Blog Radio show.
Hello, 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 everybody. Welcome to Applause Radio Show. I'm Joanne Barton, and we've got a great show for you guys tonight. We have one of the best guitar players out there in country, and tonight we also have a special co-host joining us tonight. So tonight we have Greg Martin with the Kentucky Headhunters, and I had to call in my country queen, my sister, to co-host tonight. Because growing up, when I was listening to music, I was not listening to country. I was into rock, heavy rock, metal, all that shit. But I kicked myself because I do know the Kentucky Headhunters. So I thought Patty would be a great addition to the show tonight, and we're going to have a great time. So, Patty, welcome to the Applause Radio Show tonight. Thanks for joining me tonight. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
All right, so without further ado, we've got on the phone with us now Mr. Greg Martin from the Kentucky Headhunters. He's not just the lead guitarist, he's also the co-founder, and can't thank you enough for joining us. Hi, Greg. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Joanne. Hello, Patty. How are you?
Hey, you've got two Bartons and a Martin. What a great show this is going to be.
I love it.
Well, you know, Greg, I have to say, honestly, I like I said, I wasn't, when I grew up, I was listening more to like the 60s and in the 70s, I was into rock and then I was into everything other than country. However, my sister loved nothing but country. Well, she loved everything too, don't get me wrong. So when I saw that we were having you on, I'm like, God, the Kentucky Headhunters, I don't remember them that much in the country. And then I said, Patty's got to know. And then I remember when you guys did the Farm Aid and you did Spirit in the Sky, and I loved when you did that. That when you guys did that at that show, I just got chills on my hair stood up on my arms.
Yeah, well, I'm like you, really. I'd be honest with you, even though I grew up around country music and living in Louisville and South Central Kentucky. My parents were entrenched in country music, and it was just all around me. You know, I was into the Beatles, the Rolling Stones, Bob Dylan, the Lovin' Spoonful. I was into that thing. My early recollections of music was country, just my parents listening to it. And of course, when around 67, 68, when, Cream and Hendrix and the Jeff Beck group and all this other revolution started hitting from across the seas, the underground thing, me and my bandmates, we all took to that real quick. And, the Kentucky Headhunters did get our thrust out of country music, but, our roots are blues and rock. And,
right.
And, all the subgenres,
Right. Well, you don't just play country either. You do play rock, the band and everything. So it's, I can't believe that I knew who you were all along. So, but I know Patty's dying to ask you some questions. So,
sure.
Hey, this is my rockabilly love right here. And I have to tell you, Greg, I saw you when you played in Rocky Point in Warwick, Rhode Island. You were one of the last bands to play there. And you guys were awesome. And the crowd was small. And one of the lines you said, he said, it's a small but mighty crowd here today. And
yeah.
That was in the early 90s. So those Yankees didn't know, you know, about Kentucky Headhunters. But mm-hmm. I was there, and I was waving to you. And I didn't care. You know, personally, I didn't care that we're not a lot of people there because I got to be right there, front and center, with my Kentucky Headhunters. And I was like, these people are crazy up here that don't know who you are. But I loved it because I had room to rock out and dance and listen to you and appreciate you being up there. And I was like, how, you know, and people were walking by because it was a small amusement park. And at that time, the amusement park was getting ready to shut down. So there weren't even many people even in the park. And yeah. You were one of the last people, and the park basically closed down shortly after you were there. So I was like, it was almost history. Like,
I would have stuck around, that's for sure. I would have stuck around. You know what, Greg, I think for me the thing was I never knew the name of the band. That's what it is. I never knew the name of the band, but I know your music. I mean, I really do. And like I said, I'm not a country person, so that's why I asked Patty to join us. But, I mean, I did so much research on you before the show started, and I'm excited about the new album. That's a fact, Jack. I mean, it's rocking. It's not – that thing is rocking. I mean, yeah, you shouldn't be considered a country band to me. Not at all. Not at all.
I have a question. I have a question for Patty, though. The movement part. Do you remember who we played with that day? Was that we didn't by chance play with Toy Caldwell that day, did we?
You know what? I don't remember. And you know what? It was such a small. You know, that was such a small local park. I don't even think there was an opening band,
especially
because the park was going bankrupt. And
is that the park did they used to have bands play there all the time?
They did when in the height of the day, but like I said, that the place was just about closing, and you know, and it was a sad thing for the state of Rhode Island at the time because. You know, it was the only amusement park in the whole state. There really was nothing. But I got to see you there.
Yeah.
And you know, another thing, Joe, you know, he's from Louisville. And we had Uncle Harold live in Louisville. So that's where my southern roots come from. And, you know, and I lived in Texas. So, you know, I lived for years in Texas. So I have that's where my country love comes from, but also Eddie Rabbit grew up right in our town, and I'm a little older than my sister, so we had one country radio station in New Jersey when we were growing up.
I don't think
and
there's any
it was on
now.
AM radio
I don't think
station.
There's any more. Is there any more now? I don't think there's any country stations up here.
No, not in the New York area. But I left New Jersey, went to Texas, and I was just in hog heaven. That's it for me. But I got to see. But I do have a question for you.
Thank God, right, Greg? Thank God, right, Greg?
I was also the most talkative, Greg.
I'm like, are we doing the Patty story or are we doing the Greg Martin story tonight?
Greg, back in 1990, were you ever any type of pressure to, like, change your look because, you know, George Strait with the clean-cut look, Alan Jackson, you know, you came out looking like, you know, the wild man, kind of like a bad boy of country, because, you know,
They look like Kentucky
Redhunters.
No,
you look more like ZZ Top, and, you know, but you had great, great songs during that time, but you didn't look like the typical country music where they were playing your songs. So did you ever have any pressure to change your look?
Well,
do you remember that?
By the time we hit and when the first album was released in October of 89, we did look a lot different. I mean, there was a few people popping up you know, we kind of look like your typical Southern rock band of the 70s, because that was a big part of our roots.
Kind of like Skinnerd, yeah.
You know, and we just had that look because, you know, South Central Kentucky, we just long-haired boys from that area. And now, I did, in 1981, I played with a country artist by the name of Ronnie McDowell. I played with him in
81. Oh, my God.
Yeah,
he was
Ronnie McDowell.
Yeah, Ronnie did a rockabilly Elvis type. He could, record. And that's where I met Doug Phelps, you know, the singer with the Headhunters, singing with us now. The very first day I tried out for Ronnie McDowell's band in the fall of 81, Doug tried out. And, you know, I said, well, we become friends. And, you know, at that point, I cut my hair. It really wasn't about Ronnie could care less about whether we had our hair short or long. He wasn't a stickler for anything like that, as long as we delivered musically and did our job.
Right.
But I did think, I cut my hair for my mother, believe it or not, in 1981. And it went through all kinds. If you was to go out on the internet, you might find pictures of me and Doug with McDowell. And my hair was all over the place. But I started growing it back out mid-80s. And when we put our band together, we put the Headhunters together. I mean, the roots go back to 1968 for me and Richard and Fred. But the Headhunters actually officially started in the spring of 1986, and we signed a record deal in the spring or summer of 89, and I left Ronnie's band. And then we just looked the way we did. There was never anybody said, well, you need to change your look, because
that was
you. When we hit, the album went through the roof. It just took, it got,
it sure
it,
did.
It took off. And I think they accepted that, and they knew that we weren't going to change. Even we weren't asked to do the Opry because of our looks. It's many years later, we just did the Grand Ole Opry back in December for the first time.
Right, just did that, right, in December of 21, right?
Yeah, yeah.
How cool was that? How cool was that to finally do the Opry?
It was great. It was just when it was supposed to happen. It happened organically. It happened that they were very supportive of us. They went over back. You know, we evidently they were scared of us back in the early 90s. They were looking at the outward appearance, and we really weren't wild. We had more energy back then. You know, and
well,
we sure probably come off crazy. You know, but we were not bunch of wild men. We were all, everybody
just
was married with kids. Married
you know
with
what?
Kids, except for, you know?
Yeah, I think you guys had the bad boy look of country when the good old boy image was, you know what I mean? And the shiny image was out there for image at the time, you know, in the 80s and everything. And the 80s, that's when you had your biggest hits, really. That's when you got the Grammy and everything. And do Miss Walker, I love that song. I love all your stuff. My God, it's so rocking, everything about it.
Well, thank you. I
have another question. Whenever you did not play the South, do you wish you had a dollar for every time someone asked you, what is ski?
that was a big question, you know, because people were putting their own spin on the lyrics of Dumas Walker, you know, Sawburger Prowse and Bottle of Ski. They were thinking, you know, are you talking about brewski? Or are you talking about whiskey? You know, and a lot of folks did ask. And, of course, you guys probably know this, but for everyone that doesn't know, ski is a drink that is very indigenous to this area here. It originated, it came out of Illinois, I believe, actually, a bottling company there. But there was a bottling company in Greensburg, Kentucky, that bottled ski in a sister soft drink called. And when I lived in Louisville back in the 60s, we never had ski up there, but whenever I would go visit family in Metcalf County, where the Youngs are from, you know, it was just a thrill to be able to buy a ski. it's like a different version of a Mountain Dew. You know, it was just a wonderful drink, and it's very similar to Mountain Dew, but I think it's better. That's just me. I love it better. Yeah. It's got a little bit more bite to it. And when we used to go to this restaurant in Greensburg, Kentucky, called the Greasy Spoon, that's where the slaw burgers, fries, and the bottle of ski came from. That's where the exact list. So, but yes, I wish if I had the money for every time people ask about ski or another one. Are you guys really from Kentucky?
No, we just picked it because it sounds good.
No, I would never assume you were from anywhere other than down south.
Oh, we were asked a lot of times, are you guys really from Kentucky? They thought we were put together by some record company or some corporation that, you know, no, we're from, except for Doug. Doug is from Missouri. You know, he's from the Boot Hill, Missouri, but we've adopted him since, you know.
Now, I got to ask you about your radio show. Did you start that during the pandemic, or was that before the pandemic?
Oh, no. Joanne, I've always had a love for radio.
Oh, cool. I didn't know.
50s, oh, yeah, going back to the late 50s, early 60s, just riding around in my dad's car. We had an old Plymouth. And I remember them listening to the country radio station out of Louisville, WT. And, you know, and I love radio. And I always thought the DJs always sounded the same back then. And I always thought, why is this same guy? How can he be on 24/7? You know, freaked me out. Yeah. But now you can do that by voice tracking. Yeah, you know, but back then, no. But, you know, and then going into about 64, my parents were listening to WTMT in Louisville, which was country. Mm-hmm. Then my older brother Gary, was listening to the rock and roll station, WAKY, WKLO. And so I was getting hit by both genres. Plus, I was listening to WLOU out of Louisville, which was the soul station. And so AM radio was a big part of my growing up, just as much as records or TV. Mm-hmm. And I always secretly wanted to be involved in radio. Of course, when the guitar really took hold in 1968, you know, that was just put on the back burner. But in 1986, there was a little station in Mumfordville, Kentucky, offered me a spot to do a little blues show on Monday nights. And for a few months, I did a thing called Blue Monday. And then the Headhunters signed and got really busy. And that kind of had to go south. But in 97, another station out of Campbellsville, Kentucky, offered me a 3-hour, well, actually it was 2 hours to begin with, on Friday nights, which I don't know how the guy that pulled it off, because we were gone all the time. I taped a lot of shows. But that's where the Lowdown Hoedown started in November of 97. I was
I knew you had one, you know, based on what I was told, you know, in your bio, but I didn't know that's been on so long. That's great.
Yeah, I've been at WDNS. I started WDNS in Bowling Green, Kentucky, on the classic rock station, which that started in November of 2001. So we celebrated 20 years there back in November, you know. So I've been doing radio 23 years. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So
where can people hear it, Greg? Where can they hear Lowdown Showdown? Hoedown, pardon me.
That's okay. The Lowdown Hoedown every Monday night from 7 to 10 Central Time. Eastern Time, of course, that would be 8 to 11. You can stream it streams live at WDNSFM.com or D93Rocks.com. And if you just go out there on the internet and look up the Lowdown Hoedown, Greg Martin, you'll see different you know, ways to listen to the station. You can go on to the TuneIn app, which on iPhones and Androids, and you can put in D93, and D93 has a great app of its own, you know. And like you know, my show is live, but now it's available for this week. The whole week it'll be available on that app as a download. Last night's show will be, you know. So,
nice.
I'm there every Monday night. I'm left.
And
on
since,
the road.
And since you're one of the best guitarists out there, you have amazing guests join you from the music industry. I mean, you've had Frampton on, you've had Vince Gill, Johnny Winter. I mean, so many people you've had on. I can only imagine how much fun you guys are having on that show.
Oh, it's a blast. And, you know, Joanne, the way I look at it, it's my ongoing musical education, pretty much, the way I look at it.
True.
And, you know, like having John Sebastian. I've had John Sebastian from the Love and Spoonful on. A month ago. And that was my first concert in 1966, in November of 66, was the Love and Spoonful in Louisville, Kentucky.
How cool is that, Greg? You're doing a radio show, and you're playing with these folks, and did you ever think that you would be in the situation that you're in now? Like, I know you had a lot of music playing in the house growing up. What turned you on to the guitar? Is the family musical? And when did you start playing guitar? Because you're a virtuoso.
Well, I appreciate that. You know, the Beatles.
Right, they did it for everybody. Turned everybody on to be a musician, right?
Yes, February 1964, the Beatles come on TV, and you go, whoa, what is that? Well, I just happened to be in a household. My dad played a little guitar. My older brother, Gary, played guitar, and our cousin, Larry, had moved up to Louisville. And he was we had extra room, and he was staying with us and working up there. So Gary and Larry both had nice electric guitars. There was nice Gibsons and Fenders around the house. So while they were at work, I was sneaking upstairs, you know, learning how to pick out notes. The Beatles was one of the seeds that were planted. And then when I saw the Love and Spoonful in November of 1966, that was another big nail planted in what was going to happen. And then in 68, I can only tell you that I went to see this band in Louisville called Elysian Field, which were a regional local group that had a record contract. And my cousin took me to see them. And during that performance, I just had this overwhelming feeling that this is it. This is what I'm going to be doing.
Nice.
And about later, I met Richard Young, and we did a talent show together at Metcalf County High School. I had moved down from Louisville at the end of 66, which was a part of the journey of meeting the young boys, you know. And so when I met Richard, we done the talent show together. He said, hey, me and my brother Fred and our cousin Anthony's got a band. Why don't you come over and jam with us? And that was it. We were off running.
There you go.
But man, just hearing people like John Sebastian, the Beatles, the Stones, and these people playing the seed, and I just learned on my own. But it was just an inward feeling that it was kind of like a calling. It's just something I had to do, you know.
Right. Now, I know it's kind of late in the game, but now, like I said, you grew up listening to John Sebastian, and now you've played with him and actually are friends and hung out on a radio station. Did you ever think, I mean, I guess you don't pinch yourself these days. You've been doing it so long, but what a feeling, huh?
Yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing to get to know some of these people that you aspired to be like, you know, when you were a kid. Going back to 66, and I remember sitting in Memorial Auditorium in Louisville when they played. And it was just so overwhelming. I think I'm still trying to figure out what I heard that night. It was more of a spiritual thing, really. And to get to meet these people, you know, I've never really talked to Eric Clapton, but he's walked by me at the Grammys, you know, and just to think that boys from Metcalf County, you know, we grew up in a little community. Music doesn't care where you're from.
Right.
It opens the doors for anybody that's
hey, universal language.
It's just a beautiful thing, and it's opened up many doors for me and my boys. Richard, Fred,
Doug,
yeah.
Michael Pat has a question.
What inspired you to do the instructional guitar lessons on YouTube? Because they're amazing.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I'm really not that flashy of a guitar player. I have to be honest with you.
People are you crazy?
Well, I don't think there's anything I do that's too hard, but you know, maybe I don't, yeah, but I appreciate that. I really do appreciate that. I don't know. I was asked what started that. It just would have been like 1991 or 92. Arlen Roth, great guitarist from Woodstock, New York. He's played with Simon and Garfunkel and so many different people. And him and John Sebastian have just released an album together. Arlen had a thing back in the 80s called Hot Licks. And they were originally on cassettes, and then he released them on VHS tapes. You know, like, there were lessons, like mm-hmm. slide guitar lessons, finger picking lessons and different things. And then he started having different people doing lessons, like, you know, Buddy Guy, Otis mm-hmm. Rush, people. And I was asked to do one of the Hot Licks videos, back in the early 90s. And that was my first. I really didn't prepare for it. He asked me if I was, he got my number. I don't know how we actually met, if I contacted him, or I think he contacted me out of the blue. We were going to be playing the Lone Star in New York, and he found out, and he said, would you like to do a Hot Licks video? And we hammered out the deal in the hotel, and I went up. We had a day off, and I went up to Connecticut, I think. Drove up to Connecticut, done the video, then met my guys. Where we played at? I think it was Boston, but I don't know. I guess it was doable. Somehow I had a friend driving me, so I must have made it. So Arlen Roth actually started me on that path of doing the lessons. And then later on, I've done some things for True Fire. And I do an online stream twice a month for a company called Together, which is a 2TH. Let me make sure I tell you this right, because I get it. I mix it up all the time. I'm sorry, guys. Let me make sure.
Well, I wish I would have seen you at the Lone Star. That was my hangout when I lived down the East Coast.
Oh, that was fun. We had a blast.
That was a fun place.
Three or four times. Twice a month I do this thing on Together, which is 2GTHR.co. A lot of folks like Charlie Starr from Blackberry Smoke, they do these little videos. It's a live stream, and people can interact with you. They can ask you questions right there, pop on screen. And there's a lot of folks a lot of really, really great players on there. And I think my next one is March 27th. But I don't know. I think Arlen Roth got me onto the educational aspect of playing guitar. I mean, I don't really know theory. I just know when something sounds right, when it feels right, certain aspects of playing, you know.
The next one, Greg, March 27th?
Yeah.
March 27th, I believe it's on Together, together.co, and I believe Central Time is at 5 o'clock.
And that's on YouTube. Anybody,
it's actually, they have a website.
Oh.
It's a subscription site, but you can get a free trial and check it out and see if you like it or not, you know. It's 2ETHR.
Right. Together.co, right. Now,
can you get that website for me? I don't have a pen nearby.
Yeah, I have it here. I'm gonna announce it before we log off. But I wanted to ask where people could see your YouTube instructional videos other than at together.co.
Yeah, that's for True Fire. That's
True Fire.
I did a lesson series for True Fire back in 2019 called Kentucky Fried Picking. Well, it was actually that's a subtitle. It's like Kentucky Backwoods Blues, or, you know, and so.
And I like the name. I like the name Kentucky Fried Picking. I like that.
I like it. actually, so I've done those lessons, and you can go check that out on YouTube. I've got guitar lessons on YouTube.
They're great. They're great.
Thank you. Thank you. They're just basically blues based. That's what I am. I've got blues in my bones, and I've got rock, and I've got some country, you know, and I can't, you couldn't put me up there with Al Di Meola or somebody like that. I'd faint.
You
know? I've played with Tommy Emmanuel before, and that's a tough one, but he's a great player. But, check out my True Fire videos. They're pretty interesting.
Yes. I'm definitely going to do it, and I hope to say that Greg Martin taught me how to play guitar.
Yeah.
I would love to inspire anybody that has the love for guitar.
You inspired
my fiance. He got his eye looking at it. He saw your video today and he's like, that's it, I'm gonna start lessons today. Now I was looking for tour. Are you doing any more tours? Are you going out? I just saw one in Illinois in Effingham. For 2022, any more tours beside that one?
Oh no, we got a lot of dates coming up.
I couldn't find anything.
Did you go to KentuckyHeadHunters.com? We have an old site. It's getting ready. It'll change the next year or so. We're going to get a new site, but we're going to be busy this year. We played We played in Indiana Friday night with Marshall Tucker Band. Then we played a private show in North Carolina on Saturday. Then Sunday we played in Greenville, Tennessee. We'll be in Alabama this coming weekend. The next week.
Coming to Arizona?
I don't know if it's on there right now. I know we're going to be in Colorado next week. We're going to be in Colorado Springs. We're going to be in Texas. And we're going to end up in Arkansas on the 26th, then on the 27th, I'm home doing my live stream. But we're going to be very busy. Check out our schedule could be at KentuckyHeadHunters.com or KentuckyHeadHunters.net. Now, we're actually on Instagram. We're actually on Facebook. I don't think we're really on Twitter. I don't think we've messed with that.
I'm not either.
I don't know.
I'm too old for Twitter.
I don't know if musically. I see David Crosby up there a lot, you know. But I'll tell y'all something funny. I got to set in with Buddy Guy in Louisville about three weeks ago. I know his drummer Tom Hambridge, and I bought tickets for the show, and I told Tom. I emailed him. I said, Tom, me and my family are coming up to see Buddy. I've never seen Buddy live, and I'd like to say hi after the show. And I happened to see him at the merch booth between – he opened up the show, then he went to the merch booth, and then before Buddy came out, he said, would you like to come up and jam with us? Would you be freaked out? I said, well, I didn't come up here to jam, but I wouldn't be freaked out. And so I got up and played with Buddy Guy the other night, and I got this crazy, silly hat I wear. And somebody said, David Crosby got up and played with Buddy Guy.
Wow.
I went and shaved right after that.
Oh, God.
Oh,
well, listen.
I saw Buddy Guy in the 80s, and he's still touring.
Yeah.
That's fabulous.
Guys, we've been doing a lot of talking, and which I love, and I want to continue to talk, but I want to play some music. So what brought about the album, the new album, after all these years? When was the last album you had out?
The last studio album was 2016 on Safari.
And what'd you wait so long for? What are you waiting so long for? We got to wait all these years for another album?
We never get in a hurry down here in Kentucky, honey.
I'm a New Yorker. We move quick. That's why, I guess. I don't know.
No, you guys. I love New York. I love New York.
He's too busy going to the Derby.
To the Derby.
Oh, I wish we could go. You know what? We'll be gone. We'll be on the road somewhere. I grew up one block from Churchill Downs when I was a kid. So it was nothing for me to hear the da 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 da. I heard that all the time. But we did put a live album out around 2018, 2019, live Ramblin' Man recorded in England. But this new album, That's a Fact Jack, was basically a product of crawling out of the wreckage of 2020. And we knew last year we needed a new album to represent where the band was, and we got together in early last year, and everybody brought their songs. We put everything together on the floor of the studio, and lo and behold, it came out back in October.
Oh,
yes,
oh,
and
our birthdays are in October. Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, and perfect. for those who don't know, the new album is called That's a Fact, Jack, and there's some ass-kicking songs on there. My God, I want to start with what? Let's see. I couldn't say I'm not going to play them all because we want people to get the album. We want them to listen to it. So I want to do. Oh, which one did I like a lot? I love them all. I love them all. All right, here, let's do this one. So this is now, this one is called How Could I? And now tell me anything behind How Could I or no, just a song?
Oh, no, it was actually written by some of our family in Blackstone Cherry.
Really?
A rock band. Mm-hmm. Richard and Blackstone Cherry wrote that. It was originally written for Blackstone Cherry. Richard's son is the drummer for that band. And Richard just happened to have either a CD or a cassette of the song, and he brought it out at the sessions for That's a Fact, Jack. And we just completely rearranged it and redone it because the way they did it was nothing like that. It's a strange love song. That's all I can tell you. It's like the Rolling Stones go on a double date with the Georgia Satellite and JoJo Gunn's Chaperones. That's what I say.
Well, let's listen to it. Everybody, this is How Could I from the new album by the Kentucky Headhunters. That's a Fact, Jack. And I love how when you were talking normally, and then when you got to the title of the song, you said it like, that's a fact, Jack. You know, you changed your tone when you said the title, like you were telling us, that's a fact, Jack.
All right. Right.
All right. How Could I from That's a Fact, Jack, the Kentucky Headhunters. Enjoy, folks.
Girlfriend, I lost my head and you walked away.
right. I got a little Georgia Satellite in the beginning and then that little bit of Stones feel, but I loved the hook of the chorus. I loved it.
Hey, you know,
I felt like I was back in like the Cotton Bowl, listening to a big concert and just rocking out.
Good.
I'm in my room just dancing and rocking out here.
I was sitting here playing along with it.
There you go. One that I really loved.
I was born to be your boyfriend. I loved it. I loved it.
I love what I love on there, which I think is one of the heavier ones on the CD album. I don't know what the hell we call it today. Shotgun Effie, I think, was a good track. I really do. But I didn't want to take anything good. We want to make people listen to it, you know?
Well, Shotgun Effie, that's me attempting to sing after all these years, to be honest with you. I appreciate the kind words. We wrote that, believe it or not, girls, we wrote that back in 1973. And we were called Itchy Brother. It was me, Richard, and our cousin Anthony. We wrote that song, and we released a little 45 in 1974 under Itchy Brother. Shotgun Effie was one of the songs. Another song was called Rock and Roller. And when we did this album last year, I suggest that we redo that song and bring it back, and that's why we did it. I don't sing that much, but I had to attempt to sing it again in the same key, which about killed me. I thought I was going to pass out.
Oh, I wish I'd known you were doing the vocals on that one. I would have definitely played that one. I'm sorry, I didn't upload that one.
It's all right. Is that the only one you're singing lead on? That's it. That's the only song I've ever sung.
So where can I get that CD?
Where can you get the CD? It's available. You know, you can any digital platform. You can download it. You can stream it. You can buy it. You can go to Amazon. You can order it from any.
Oh, Amazon? Okay.
It's out there. It's available as a hard copy. No vinyl yet, but you can get CD or you can download it. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, when you mentioned Itchy before, I actually wanted to ask you, how did you go from Itchy to the Headhunters?
What made you change the name? Well, I think what happened in 86, you know, I was with Ronnie McDowell. Fred was playing with Sylvia. And Richard was writing Make Up Rose, and we wanted to put our band back together. We wanted to put Itchy Brother back together. But when we talked to our cousin Anthony, we had already been through, you know, back in the late 70s, early 80s, we tried to get a recording contract and came really close to signing with Swan Song Records out of England.
Yes.
And when John Bonham passed, you know, that was the end of that. And I took a gig in Nashville, and we started missing each other in the mid-80s, and when we talked to Anthony about putting the band back together, it just wasn't at a time he really wanted to do it, and I suggested bringing Doug Phelps up to jam, and when Doug seemed like Doug was going to work out, we didn't feel good about using the name Itchy Brother, and so that's we just put Itchy Brother never broke up there. It's on sabbatical or something, you know. We could get together with Anthony tomorrow and it would still sound amazing. That was our rock and roll band. But Doug brought a whole different slant to our sound, and in the very first year or so, we were just called the Headhunters, just the Kentucky Headhunters, no Kentucky. Actually from 86 to 89 we signed a recording contract. There was another group called the Headhunters, so we were suggested Kentucky be added to the name. And that could have been because of Georgia Satellite. So now I'm kind of wondering, maybe they thought, here's Nashville's version of the Satellite, which were nothing like them. We love that band. But Kentucky was added to the name, and bam, there you go. So 86 is when the names changed from Itchy Brother to the headhunters, yeah.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that earlier, and we went on to other things, but you mentioned it, so I said I had to ask you what made you switch. I want to play another one. I want to play Watercolors in the Rain. I like that one, too. I want to play that one, too. So this, I just want to make sure we get a couple of songs in so we could talk a little bit more. If that's okay
Absolutely.
With you, Greg. Are you cool with that?
I'm fine.
Excellent.
As you're playing these songs, I'm playing along because I've got to learn these songs.
Well, that's
you know,
what I said. You're definitely touring because you got the new album out. You got the Rata tour. You got to get this album out.
Yes, ma'am. We got to work some of these songs up. So we have, you know, a lot of these were worked up in the studio, and we have not played them out live yet. We literally learned them in the studio. Now we got to go back and go, what did you play? What did I play?
All right, get ready. Yeah, Watercolors. Q and G, you got your pick. You ready? I'm kidding.
Yeah,
all right,
yeah.
Everybody. Watercolors in the Rain. The Kentucky Headhunters from That's a Fact, Jack.
Washing away with every drop of pain. I pray the dark times roll away, and watercolors come back to stay. Little children draw their futures in the sand, paint on sidewalks and hold each other's hands. We need to learn what the little ones teach gets out of reach. We're like watercolors in the rain, washing away with every drop of pain. I pray the good times come our way, and watercolors come back to stay. Hey, look who's coming down the road. It looks like Jesus must be time to go. There'll be no suffering, no more pain. Just watercolors that never fade. We're like watercolors in the rain, washing away with every drop of pain. We got some good times coming our way, yeah. And watercolors will never fade. Watercolors are here to stay.
The bass in that too. I'm very partial to bass. I am very partial to bass. And oh, what I loved it. I loved it. What anything behind that? What a great topic. Watercolors in the Rain. Wow.
Well, it's one of Richard's mini sermonettes, as I call it. You know, it's a lesson in humanity. Co-written with a fellow by the name of W.L. Stone. A gentleman from Ohio. He just passed away, actually, last year.
Sorry to hear that.
Yeah, he was a dear friend and supporter of our band. Mm. He sent Richard a poem called Watercolors in the Rain, and Richard knew there was something there. and he took it and he rounded it into a Headhunter song, and he brought it to the sessions, and we molded it into what it is now, and it's just a very powerful message.
Yes.
Powerful music. It's a really fine song. I hate bragging on my band, but when I was listening to those two tracks, I go, I'm glad I'm in that band.
No, you hit the nail on the head with the words watercolors and the ranch is powerful. That's the word, powerful. It's a powerful song. The whole storyline, everything.
Richard is a very, very good writer. He got into writing real heavy. I mean, he's always been a writer, and we write together. But when the band, when Itchy Brother went on hiatus back, I don't know, back in the 80s, you know, we had to take a break from each other for a while to do different things. He started writing for Acuff Rose, and he really worked on his craft. And Richard can write commercial songs, but the songs he brings to the Headhunters most generally are really well-thought-out songs, and they have a message behind them that means something to him. I call them mini sermons, you know, without getting beat over the head with a Bible, you know. They're just really good messages. He wrote the lyrics for That's a Fact, Jack, Watercolors in the Rain, and also the very ending song, Let's All Get Together and Fight, which
I heard that one. I was like, should I play it since my sister's on the show? I don't know. It might bring back too many memories from the holidays.
Well, exactly. Everybody, hey, it don't have to be Christmas or Easter for everybody to get together and somebody bring up politics or whatever and get a big fight going, you know? My family, my aunts and my mother and my aunts would get together every Sunday at my Aunt Bertha's house and sit around this old wood stove, and they'd get arguing and mad at each other. And one time my Uncle Carl showed up, and they got him so mad he wouldn't come back for a year, you know. So it's just a Kentucky way of showing love, I would think.
Yeah, now I got to ask you now. I saw your guys' version of Big Boss Man. What do you think of Elvis's Big Boss Man compared to totally different, by the way, to the version that you guys do and they do?
Yeah, we took. Well, of course, the version that we're really more familiar with was the original version by Jimmy Reed that came out.
Original Blues, yeah, right.
Late 50s. Elvis's version came out a little bit later, and I think Elvis did a wonderful job, you know. But when we were approached to do that song from the publishers, we had to come up with our own slant on it, so we took it into a heavier direction. And yeah, it's funny because a lot of people, they actually have heard Elvis's version. They don't know Jimmy Reed's version. But, you know, we happen to be big, big Jimmy Reed fans. We love Jimmy Reed.
Mm. We definitely did it justice.
Did you like it? Did you like our version?
Yes. Yeah, you definitely did Jimmy Reed's version justice, because I only really knew the Elvis one, and I listened back to Jimmy's, and you guys really did a great job on it.
Yeah, there's, you know, Elvis' version's a little different than Jimmy. What I love about Jimmy Reed, his wife, Mama Reed, is the story was that Jimmy would get drunk before the session, and she would have to sing along with him so he could get the lyrics right. So if you hear
oh
the
my God.
Jimmy Reed, like on Big Boss Man, it's because Mr. Reed has had too much whiskey, and she's trying to make him help him through the lyrics.
Yeah, exactly. Now, I want to play another one, because there's a question I want to ask you that I think is going to be a long answer. So I want to make sure we get at least one more song in before you, it's about your guitars. So I got a feeling we're going to talk a long time on that. But I think so, which is fine. But I just want people to hear some of your music so that they go out and get this CD. I keep saying CD or album. It's whatever. You can get it anywhere. But it's really – and nowadays it's all that computer shit. So.
Exactly.
All right.
You know, I've gone back, Joanne, here recently, you know, we, you know, back in the 80s when CDs became the big rage in the 90s, I started calling them CDs, and I've got a room full of CDs down here. You don't even want to know how many. But And I've got it too. But I've gone back to calling them albums now, is what I've
done. I call them albums.
You know, it's gotten to the point now, it's kind of like 1965. People are releasing singles now. Albums aren't the big thing like they were, you know, around 67 with Sgt. Pepper, Revolver, and Pet Sounds, and all those great classic albums hit. You know, albums are an afterthought again, kind of. I think our album, though, all those songs do belong together. I don't think they need to be pulled apart. We have to, obviously, to do singles and everything. But I think our album kind of tells a story about where we're at, where we're from, you know. But whatever you want to play, you play.
Right. Well, speaking of together, let's slow it down. Well, not slow it down, but take it down a notch, but we belong together. How's that sound?
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, it is. All right, we belong together again. The Kentucky Headhunters, Greg Martin, lead guitar, and check out the album. That's a fact, Jack. We belong together. Here we go.
Headhunters with a love song, a real love song. I love it.
That's a good one. I sat here and learned it while we were playing it just then.
Greg, Who mixed these tracks?
Sounds like a wedding song.
Did you guys
that
mix these
really
tracks?
Good.
Or did
What's
you have somebody else? Who did the mixing?
David Barrick here in Glasgow, Kentucky, Barrick Recording, did the recording, the tracking, and the mixing. And,
very good.
By Rodney Mills from Atlanta. That those lyrics, that song was a combination of the Headhunters, T.J. Lyle, and Logan from the Georgia Thunderbolts, a band from Atlanta that we know, Georgia. And it is a song that was brought to the sessions, and we tore it apart, came up with the intro, come up with the bridge, and just come up with that little soul. It's kind of a soul ballad.
Yeah.
That, you know, I think we took it more into a soul direction, a soul ballad, sort of, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The vocals give it that soul feel.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it sounds like a nice wedding song.
I think, yeah, you're right.
I agree. That's a good one. I agree. Thank you. I'm glad you got it. That's Doug Phelps singing that. Richard Gunn sang Watercolors in the Rain, the one before. And then, of course, Doug sang How Could I?
Well, I'm loving everything about it, everything so far, everything. So I got to ask this question. What is your go-to guitar and how many toys do you have, I should say? Not how many guitars, how many toys, how many babies do you have?
Well, not as many as I once had. I'm 68, and over the years I've downsized a bit because I was getting way too, I still have a lot. Okay, my go-to guitars on the album. I've got a 1958, an original 1958 Les Paul. A gift from Hank Williams Jr. back in the 90s. And that guitar is on a lot of the new album. That was on, actually, the songs you played. That's the main guitar on that those songs right there.
It sounds great.
I used a 1962 ES-335 on a couple of songs. I used a 1957 song on Susanna and Cheap Tequila. And then I used on Shotgun Effie, the rhythm part, I used a Gretsch Silverjet. And for slide, I used this guitar. It's a Ventura. It's a clear plexiglass looking guitar. It's a strange looking little guitar. It's clear. And I've used that guitar for slide. It just works great for slide guitar. It's on the slide parts on How Could I and Shotgun Effie. And then, you know, those are the guitars I used on these sessions. But, I've got about 40, 50 guitars. I don't have hundreds like Joe Bonamassa. I don't have that many. No. You know?
Oh my God!
No,
You might have 40 or 50 guitars, but Hank Williams Jr. kissed me at Billy Bob's in Fort Worth.
Really?
Oh God!
Wow.
Can you say that?
I don't think Greg would have wanted to get kissed by Hank Williams Jr.
He made you.
I have memories too, Greg.
What's that, darling?
I said, I have memories, too. You might have 40 or 50 guitars, but Hank Williams Jr. kissed me at Billy Bob's in Fort Worth.
Yeah,
oh,
Hank never
God.
Kissed me.
Yeah. Well, you better have to put that on your bucket list now, Greg. Jesus Christ.
we're actually playing with Hank at Beaver Dam, Kentucky, I think in August. I'll try to stay away from Hank, make sure he don't kiss me.
Yeah, exactly. You better run
don't
away.
Don't tempt me.
Better
I'll
run
get
away.
The, don't. Don't tempt me. I'll get in the car and drive there.
Oh my God!
That's the first time it'll be the first time we play with Hank. I don't know how long. Maybe 20 years. I don't even know. Last time we've seen Hank back around 2010 at a get together. But man, as far as playing again, we did a lot of dates with Hank back in the '90s. But I can't remember the last time we played with that guy. Man, it'll be a nice reunion.
That will be a nice reunion. I wish I could go to that show. That would be awesome.
Well, I hope that it spawns a tour, because this show sold out in like 2 or 3 days.
Nice.
And I think there's a lot. We toured with Hank extensively, 90, 91, and we did a few dates in 92. And then we did a few in 93. But this is the first time we've done a date with Hank in a lot of years. And I believe there's a demand for us to be together. So we'll see. Maybe this will cause a tour to happen and you guys can tour, you know.
Oh my God, that would be awesome. You and Hank, oh my God.
I got a new song title for you there, Greg. Now that with the kissing and shit with Hank, just a date with Hank. I got a date with Hank.
There you go.
I hear he wants to kiss, but he ain't touching these lips, but I got a date with Hank.
we do have a date with Hank coming up, and I'll give you a little inside information. There was a case to sit on the side of the stage, the Jim Beam. They used to call it the Hank Tank.
The Hank
Tank.
There's many nights I would go help myself to the Hank Tank and watch and watch Hank do his thing. He mesmerized the good old boys out there
Wow.
He's quite a guy. We love Hank a lot. We do.
Yeah. I do want to ask you real quick. Now, growing up, you were just learning the guitar, and again, you know, you saw the Beatles, turned you on, and said, "This is what I want to." Well, this is what I want. I don't know if that was your moment where you said, "This is what I want to do," but obviously, all musicians, when they saw the Beatles, that's when they said, "That's it. This is it. I got to do this." Right. So. At that time, I know you've been doing this a long time. You've met all of your people that you've looked up to, guitarists. At that time, what guitarist was, who did you look up to at that time when you were just learning? Like, who did you want to be? I want to be like that guitar player.
Wow. There's several, but, you know, when I heard Eric Clapton with Cream, I think that was a new sound that I had never heard before, and I really aspired to go for that tone. There was a gentleman by the name of Michael Bloomfield that was a great blues guitar player from Chicago that played he played the guitar on like a Rolling Stone. He played with a group called the Electric Flag. He played with the Paul Butterfield Blues Band. He was a groundbreaking blues, a blue-eyed white guitar that played the blues genuinely, just
right.
Like B.B. King and Albert. I loved his playing. You know, a little later on in life, I loved Dwayne Allman and Dickie Betts. But I think in 68, Michael Bloomfield helped point the way to listen to B.B. King, Freddie King, Albert King, Otis Rush, Muddy Waters. And that music has meant a lot to me, especially at this time of my life. I love going back and listening to old blues, and I love listening to old R&B, you know, Wilson Pickett, Aretha Franklin, Gray. Just, I love that stuff. It's just
me too.
You know. But, yeah, I think Eric Clapton, tone-wise, set me on a path. Another fellow that doesn't get credit as a great guitar player, but he was Todd Rundgren. Great player.
I got one last question.
One last question.
Are you a fan of David Allan Coe?
I like David Allan Coe just fine. I'm not as familiar. We've played with David Allan Coe several times, and he's always very nice to us. I remember the first time I was around him or met him, I was with Ronnie McDowell. And this would have been 1982, spring of 82. Ronnie opened up with David Allan Coe in Memphis at the Orpheum. And then the next night we played over in Jackson, Tennessee at the Carl Perkins Center. And David Allan was on stage and his guitar wasn't working right. And he asked the roadie, he said, "Did you use a certain brand of batteries?" And the guy said, "No." And he took the guitar off and just flung it down on the ground and walked off. And I thought then, I don't think I'd ever want to make that. I don't think I want to make David Allen mad. But I'll tell you, as we've worked with him over the years, he's been fine to us. He's nice to us. I know his music, but I think I've got one album by him, but I'm not mm-hmm. familiar with his stuff. But he's always so kind to us whenever we work with him.
You reminded of me when you said, when I was listening to the radio, and you said a line when you were talking about how you listen to the radio, and that's the one line in his song, you know, when my mama got out of the prison, and I was listening to the radio. You almost said it verbatim or whatever. It was almost like line for line when you were saying you were listening to the radio. I said, oh my God, he could have been David Allan Poe right now.
Hey, I know that song. I know that song well.
Yes,
that was
and when
good. You don't have to tell me, what's the name of that song? Somebody, you don't have to tell me you love me, darling, or whatever it is.
Yes, yes. You never call me by my name.
Right, you never call me. My first recollection of meeting, not meeting, but even knowing about David Allan Poe, I managed a record store, electronics shop, from 1974 to early 1977 in Louisville. And a gentleman came in one day wanting to order an album by David Allan Poe, and I think it was called Outlaw Blues or something. And I remember the album cover, whatever it was called, he was standing in front of a hearse. Or there was a hearse on the cover. And evidently, he drove a hearse around Nashville. That's the first time I'd ever heard about him. And, of course, that was about the time that the outlaw music scene was ushering in, you know, Willie, Waylon, you know, that type of thing.
William
Waylon? Yeah, of course, you know, unfortunately, Waylon's no longer with us. Willie's getting...
Yeah.
Willie's 88, and he just lost his sister, Bobby. Yeah, we just lost a great guitar player by the name of Barry. I can't believe I can't remember his name. Barry Bailey from Atlanta Rhythm Section. He just passed away.
Yeah. Oh, man. Well,
yeah,
folks,
that's crazy.
We could go on and on and on with Greg. I mean, there's just his career is long, his talent is even longer, and you gotta check this new album out, and it's called That's a Fact, Jack, and you get it anywhere online where you download your music, and I would think your website may have actual CDs or no.
Well, we don't have an online store yet, unfortunately. We had one, and we had some people taking care of it, and they retired. But we're gonna revamp it, and we're gonna get an online store. That'll be a part of our restructuring. I'm not that we've never went away. We've been touring for years and years,
right?
But we've got to jump into the online game a little heavier. We've really upped our game on social media this past few months. And hired a fellow to help us out there because the youngsters can do it better than we can.
Yeah.
And
who are you telling?
You know, hey, it's all, you know, I should be on Instagram more. I am more than I used to be. But, and I do get on Facebook and post stuff every day. I try to make things interesting. But we'll have an online store at some point. We will. Just everybody stay tuned.
Well, what I'd like to do is play the title track, That's a Fact, Jack, and let everybody know where they could find out more about you, and then we'll say goodnight, unless you want to say goodnight now, and I could finish up the show.
Play it, then we'll talk afterwards. I'm no hurry. It's up to you guys.
Well, no, we only got 15 minutes left, and I don't want to. I want to definitely get this song in. So, you know, and of course I want to speak to you, but what I want to speak to you about could go on forever. You know, so I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I'm captive. I'm a captive audience, so don't worry about it. Whatever you want to talk about, you play the song, and get done. Wherever it goes. If you need to go, that's fine. Just wherever you
no,
need.
I just got to go. I just got to make a few announcements before I log off. But I want to make sure everybody knows everything about you, where they can get the CD and all the guitar online training and all that. We want to get that in there too. So, but let's get this song. And this is the title track, guys. That's a Fact Jack. And it's the Kentucky Wilderness from the album That's a Fact Jack. Just love it.
Yes.
Love it, Craig.
Thank you. Yes, it is. It's a very band-oriented album. It's very diverse. It's there's a lot of styles represented, but they all point to the Headhunter sound, you know.
That's right.
It's just that we just matured. We're older guys now. And we throw caution to the wind, and we're not trying to appease charts or program directors, or we're just doing what feels natural, and that song right there It's another one of Richard's fine sermons, and people need to get their ASSs back on track, you know.
Well, you know what? That's a fact, Jack.
Yeah,
well, exactly. Oh,
people,
man.
They need to love each other, quit arguing, right? Quit
right.
Fighting.
That's it.
That's right. Well, guys, Greg, thank you so much. And for you guys out there, pick up the album. My God, that's a fact, Jack. You can get it, again, anywhere online. To find out more about the Kentucky, I keep calling you Headhunters for short, the Kentucky Headhunters and Greg, go to thekentuckyheadhunters.com. And again, on YouTube, the True Fire, you can find True Fire where Greg does his, on March 27th, he's going to be doing a live session to teach people how to play guitar, Greg?
Yeah. Yeah, that's on together.co. That's a number 2.
Yes.
GTHR.co. And I'll be on the 27th, and you can get a free subscription for that and check it out, see if you like it or not. There's a lot of really fine guitar players. Charlie Starr from Blackberry Smoke, he does his own live stream. A lot of guys do. I'll be up there the 27th at 5 Central Standard Time, so y'all can do the math and change the hours accordingly. Yeah.
It's on my calendar. I put it down. I put it down because I definitely
check it out.
Check
it
out.
Yeah, get your free subscription. Check it out. See if you like it. Jump on and say hi to me. You could jump on live, and I can see your face. You can see me. And
oh, you know what?
Honey,
I got a face for radio. You don't want to see me.
You'll see me.
Y'all jump on and say hi to me that day. Please do, okay?
I'm going to bring my Takamine out. I haven't had it out in a long time, and see what I can pick up because I don't know much. I kind of strum. That's about it, you know? But I definitely, I would love to say Greg Martin taught me how to play guitar.
Greg, you know what I play?
What do you play?
I play the jukebox.
That's okay.
I love jukebox.
I used to be fascinated with jukeboxes when I was a kid. I dropped a lot of, I don't know how much it cost back in the day, a dime maybe or a quarter.
Yeah.
When I moved to Metcalf County in the 60s, Jim's Grill had a great jukebox. It had Merle Haggard. It had Deep Purple. It had Cream. It had the Beatles. It had everything represented. And I kind of think that's the way the Headhunters, we're just a mixture of all those influences. And we've got our own little burgoo, a little musical burgoo going on.
Yeah. And also, don't forget the Lowdown Hoedown also on WDMS Radio, 7 to 10 Central, every Monday, right? Every Monday?
That's right, and you can stream that WDNSFM.com or D93Rocks.com, or you can get the TuneIn app, and you can tune us in there, or you can get the D93 app, and you can check out last night's show if you got the D93 app. You can check us out on the podcast.
Cool. Very cool.
Greg,
you and I were in high school at the same time, so we've got a lot of music in common.
What year did you graduate?
Let's just say we were in high school together.
Watch out, Greg. She might ask you to play We Belong Together for her wedding. Watch out.
Something going on here?
All right, well, listen, I'm going to say goodbye to you, and I'm going to go on your website and see if you're going to be heading out to Arizona. Make sure it's after October because the summer is way too hot out here for any live concerts.
I have a feeling we'll be out that way. Now that the pandemic, it seems like things are opening back up.
Thank God.
We worked quite a bit. Yeah, I'm glad too. We worked quite a bit last year. 2020, we worked about, I don't know, 10 shows.
Yeah.
And it was, everybody's got their own pandemic story. My story was fine. I cleaned my basement up. I've got it fixed back up again. But last year we started working again. We worked a few days. We worked 45, 50 days. This year I think we're going to be busier. And, you know, we're older guys now. We don't have time to waste anymore, you know. We don't have time to waste.
No kidding.
No kidding.
I haven't seen it since 92. It's time for another show.
There you go.
That's right. You got to come see us.
Yes,
you
go to the website and check out the tour dates. And, Greg, thank you so much again. What a pleasure to meet you and hang out with you tonight. I can't thank you enough for hanging out with us. And, Patty, thank you for joining us tonight. It was great having you on, too, for your country input. I needed that. And because I am not, I've never listened to country. What song did I hate, Pat? What was it?
Oh, she used to like when I sang Grandpa by the Judds on karaoke.
No, what is it?
I live in Arizona. She's in New Jersey, so we don't. I'm in Arizona. She's in New Jersey, so we don't get to see each other too often. So we can't do karaoke very much. So
what was that one? Giddy up, boom up, boom up, boom up, giddy.
Oh God.
Bob. Yeah.
Elvira. Where did you guys?
You were
grow
a little
up
kid
at?
When that came out.
We grew up.
Where
we grew up in New Jersey. New Jersey.
What part? What part of New Jersey?
Right
Northern
by New
Jersey.
York City.
Yeah.
Oh wow. Wow.
Right,
okay.
Right across from New York City. That's why I said when I was in on the East Coast, I used to hang at the Lone Star. I used to take the subway right across the river.
Great. That's great.
Yeah, but then
I went
down to Texas.
Yeah, when we played, we used to play New York. We used to stay across. We'd stay in New Jersey. As you know, it was a lot easier to do that.
Mm-hmm.
The last time I remember playing New York, oh, God, when was it? We played B.B. King's, I think. That was the last time we played there.
I've been there. Mm-hmm.
I love the energy in New York now, you know, and I love that area. Southern music has never went out of style in y'all's part of the country. You know, we've always been received very well there. And
yeah.
We
well, you know what?
Greg,
you need to bring your show over to New York, your radio show, because there is no country, nothing, no music, country, anything here up in New York, other than Sirius. You know, there's no main country stations anymore.
Right. I know. It's sad, really. Terrestrial radio is, you know, independent stations are fading away. It's become real corporate, and the playlists are just too narrow. So that's why Sirius is doing real well. You know, eventually I'd like to syndicate my show when time allows, and it's supposed to happen. So maybe I will. Maybe I'll be on up there one of these days.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, I definitely cannot wait to check out your online class and also your radio show. So, folks, again, Greg, I can't say thank you enough. What a pleasure. Thank you so much. Everybody, Greg Martin from the Kentucky Headhunters. Check out the new album, That's a Fact, Jack. Go to their website, KentuckyHeadhunters.com, and get some tour dates and check them out.
God bless you guys.
Thank you.
Take care, Greg.
All right. Bye, guys. See
Have a fun
later.
Tour.
All
Have
right.
a fun
Bye-bye.
Tour. Take care. Bye-bye. All right. Well, that was a lot of fun. Oh, my goodness. Pat, you still there?
Yep.
Yeah, no. What a nice guy, huh?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, real quick, we got a couple seconds left. Guys, go to njpack.org to get your tickets. It's probably your last chance this week to get the tickets. George Clinton, the godfather of funk, on March 18th, the 90s All-Star Dance Concert on March 19th, and then Alice Cooper on March 22nd with Buck Cherry. Go get your tickets, njpack.org. We've got a great show coming up for you tomorrow night. Mr. D. Thompson is an actor, author. He wrote the book. He was the guy that got into the Oscars without a ticket. I don't know if you remember that story a while back. So we got him on tomorrow. And then on the 17th, we've got Robin S. is going to join us. You got to show me love. She's going to be on. And on the 19th, we got Deborah Bonham and Peter Billick from Bonham and Billick, and that's going to be fun. That's 1 p.m. Eastern in the afternoon. We're like double-heading here, folks. So, Patty, thanks so much for hanging out with us tonight. It was great having you on. Come back again. We had a lot of fun. And again, everybody, Greg Martin from Kentucky Headhunters, go check out that new album. That's a fact, Jack. And you know what? Let's what didn't we play? Let's play one that we didn't play. Where's my list? I have a list. So wait, I'll just look at them. That's a fact, Jack. We Belong Together. Watercolors we played. What do we got? How Could I? We played. Gonna Be All Right. This is another track off of the album. Have a good night, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow. Thanks so much, Greg Martin. Thanks, Patty. Have a good night, everybody. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
Better get in line, 'cause you'll have to wait.